God is to be praised, though we bless you. You alone and worthy to be praised, though we honor you, Jesus. So we honor you, we give you praise, we worship you, Jesus. Zion, for there the Lord had commanded his blessing. Hallelujah. The Lord had commanded his blessing in Zion tonight. Father, we ask that your word will come with life and power to change and to transform. We ask that you change us, you cause us to be transformed by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for victory in the air. Thank you for victory in the air. We give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'd like you to take your feet. Just tell your neighbor you're welcome to the house of God. And take your seat in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you. The Bible says, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means the victory that we get and we walk in life comes only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I destroy for lack of knowledge. So because you have rejected knowledge, therefore I have rejected you from being priests unto me. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 13 said they have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. So it's not because God has not given us the victory, but because we have not come into the knowledge of that which God has worked for us in his Son Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 13, the Bible speaks to say God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, from the authority of Satan, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. John in Revelation chapter 5 speaks and he said, God, Jesus has redeemed us unto God by his blood. By his blood we have been redeemed. That means Satan should not have authority over the life of a believer. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So God wants us to understand everything, that the works of the devil have been destroyed. Jesus is not going to come again to destroy the works of the devil. He has done it once and for all. The Bible says he's the high priest for us, who has come and blotted out our transgression once and for all. That with the blood of lambs and bulls could not accomplish because of imperfection. Jesus has become the perfect high priest for us. Say, for by his stripes you are healed. Say, for he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That means that which it takes for us to live a life of peace. Amplifiers also say a life of prosperity. It says the chastisement of our peace. That means the requirement for us to live a life of peace and prosperity. The word translated peace here means a state of well-being, a state where nothing is missing and nothing is broken in your life. The Bible says what it takes for you to live that kind of life, Christ has accomplished it. So it's amazing how God's people are still held bound by the power of sin, by sickness, by disease, by failure, by poverty, by lack. Jesus said from the beginning it was not so. So God came to redeem a people unto himself. That means God bought us from the slavery of Satan, from the dominion of darkness. He bought us by the precious blood of the Lamb unto himself. As a people, a royal people, we are called to show forth the praises of him who has taken us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so as a child of God, your responsibility is to begin to ask yourself, and you begin to check the word of God to see how much am I walking in this victory that Christ has accomplished for me. How much victory am I enjoying in my life? How much victory am I seeing in my life? If I'm not seeing victory in an area of my life, it's not because God is not true. It's because it takes light. It takes revelation. And so the cry of the believer is to come to a place where perpetually you are being flooded by light. So that our eyes will be flooded by light. When there's no light in a place, there's the possibility of stumbling because you can't see. If I should stand here and perhaps you are the entrance, the door there, and I'm giving you something, extending something to you. I'm giving and I'm saying take. But because you can't see, because there's no light for you to see, you will never receive that which I'm giving you. And so God's arm is wide open. God is extending the bounties of redemption to his people. But because we do not have light to see, because our paths are not flooded by light, so we cannot walk to God to receive that which God is offering us. And so if I'm sick today, it's not because Christ has not accomplished what it takes for me to walk in victory in my health. It's because the light that I need to shine on my path to walk to the Lord and receive my healing has not come to me. So I can stand here and the Lord's arms are wide open, extending healing to me. But I'm not even seeing him. I'm not even knowing. I don't even know that the Lord is standing, extending healing to me. Why? Because darkness is before me. That's why Jesus said you will know the truth. That means you will receive the light that you need to walk in freedom. The Bible says, awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14. It says, awake, thou that sleepest, that Christ shall give thee light. As if God has accomplished everything that we need for a fruitful life, everything that we need to fulfill our divine purpose in God, we need light to shine on our path. We need to be able to see that which God is offering us perpetually. If we ever search the world today and find out that prosperity is yours, healing is yours, it's not because God is just giving you the healing now. It's just because you are discovering now that healing is yours. But over 2,000 years ago, the arms of the Lord has been wide open. So Isaiah lamented, said, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It means every time we search the word of God and we find out the report of God for our life and we believe it, we see the outstretched arm of God. You see the arm of God stretched out on your behalf. So where we just read verse 4 of chapter 5 of the book of John, it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. So until we hear, faith comes by hearing, and understanding by the word of God. Until we understand that which God is offering us, real Bible faith is not born in our hearts. And when Bible faith is not born in our hearts, victory is far-fetched. So this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So our faith is that victory. Our faith is that victory. That's why it's very important that we go for light. And that's why God brings up, that's why God put a meeting like this. That's why God raised a ministry like this. That's why God gave us gifts in the body of Christ. Why we say he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, so that the saints can be built up, so that the saints can be edified, so that the saints can see that which God has accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In the book of Colossians chapter 2 from verse 14, the Bible says Jesus, by his death on the cross and his burial and resurrection, he blotted out every handwriting that was written contrary to us. He took them and nailed them to the cross. The Bible says he spoiled principalities and power. He made an open show of them, triumphing over them in victory. So Jesus did not triumph over principalities and powers for himself. All that Jesus did was for us. Imagine a man who goes for battle and he comes back with spoil and he's offering the spoil to his wife and his wife is not willing to receive. And the man says, don't you understand that I went for this battle because of you? I was battered, I was stabbed, I was fired, and everything I went through was just for you, just to bring the spoil to you. And you can't even receive the spoil that I'm offering you. No man will want to be in that position. No husband wants to be in that position. But the Bible tells us that we are the bride of Christ. And so everything that Jesus did, he did it for his bride. He did it for his bride. Just to show his bride that he loves her. So the torture, the oppression, the Bible says he bore our sins. The Father had to separate from him. It was that time that we saw that the Father was separated from Jesus. And he cried saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My Father, why hast thou forsaken me? That means the Father forsook him just because of us. Because he bore our iniquity upon himself. So everything Jesus ever did, he did it for the church. And until we allow him to give us light to see that which he has accomplished for us, even though victory has been given to us, we will not walk into it experientially. So on the legal side, like some theologians would say, we are healed, we are delivered, we are prosperous. But experientially, not every one of us seem to be walking in this reality. It doesn't mean God is not saying the truth. It's that the church needs to come to light. And that's why Paul was praying that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. That we'll know what is the hope of our calling. To what hope have we been called? What is the purpose why God called us? He called us unto victory. He called us unto victory. He called us unto victory. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, guide thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The message says, keep a vigilant guard over your heart, because that's where life begins from. So everything that God wants to bring us into, God starts by revealing it to our hearts. And that's why we must keep a pure heart before the Lord. That our heart must be open when we are listening to the truth of God's word like this, so that light can shine into us. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God as it is revealed in the face of Jesus. So the light is revealed in our hearts. And so we must do everything possible to keep our hearts. To keep our hearts from walking with philosophies of men. The Bible says, don't let any man spoil you by philosophies. Don't let any man spoil you by things that does not reveal the works of Christ in redemption. For some of us, when you sin and you do wrong against God, you feel you must go through some punishment to justify that you have done wrong before the Lord. But God wants to bring us to a point where we understand that we cannot do anything in ourselves to add to that which Christ has done. His works are perfect. We are not going to add to that which Christ has accomplished for us. We only need to accept that which He has given us and begin to walk in the reality of it. Hallelujah. The Bible says in chapter 4 of the book of Romans that Abraham believed God. He believed God as the one who quickened the dead. He believed God as the one who called those things that be not as though they were. He believed in the word of God. He believed in the promises of God over his life. He didn't give room to doubt and unbelief. He believed that God is faithful. That if it's possible, God will bring life to this my child that I'm offering to him. He believed that. He believed in the works of God. And God accounted that to him for righteousness. For righteousness. Hallelujah. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. The Lord delivered him out of them all. So it doesn't matter what affliction you are experiencing in your life. The Bible says, though the afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Galatians chapter 4 verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is he that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That means the curse of the law has been broken from our lives. If you read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 15 down, we see that God began to list to them what the curse of the law is. And we see that the curse of the law includes sickness, includes disease, includes lack, includes poverty. Includes to them that they will be under the oppression of their enemy. That's the curse of the law. But it's only in Christ Jesus that that curse is broken. It's only in Christ Jesus that that curse is broken. So I want to tell you that it doesn't matter what oppression you're experiencing in your life. If you believe in that which Christ has accomplished for you, then victory is yours. Because whoever is born of God is born to overcome the world. Is born to overcome the things that the people of the world go through. Is born to overcome the oppression, the disease, the failure, the poverty that the world goes through. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 says Jesus is raising for himself a church without spot or wrinkle or any of such things. And so Jesus is raising for himself a victorious church. He's raising for himself a people that when he comes to rapture, he's coming to meet people that are ready to meet him in victory. People that will say, oh dead, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? It's a people of authority. It's a people of power. It's a people of victory that God is raising. And so, saints of God, I challenge you that as you look at your life and you begin to see aspects of your life that does not depict that which Christ has accomplished for you, God expects you to become vexed in your spirit. God expects you to begin to search into the world until you see that which it takes for you to walk in your liberty. Galatians chapter 4 says, and here, as long as he's a child, he doesn't differ from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He will need to be under tutors and governors until the time appointed for the Father. The time that God has appointed for every one of us to begin to walk in victory is not in the next 5 years, it's not in the next 10 years. It's the time that your word comes. It's the time of your revelation. When your revelation comes, then that's the appointed time for you to begin to rule. The Bible said the word of the Lord tried Joseph. Joseph was bound by fetters until his word comes, until the word of God was fulfilled in his life, until the revelations of God's word came and became a reality. He could not walk out of that bondage. And so spiritual maturity is not a function of how long you have been in the church or how much time you spend really reading the Bible, but spiritual maturity depicts how much the revelations of God have become a reality in your life. That's what proves that you are growing spiritually. It's not that you spend countless hours praying. It's not that you study the word for 20 hours. It's that everything that you see in the word becomes a reality in your life. Until the victory that Christ has wrought becomes an experience that you walk in, then you are not walking in spiritual maturity. The Bible says, if anyone suffering, let him pray. If anyone happy, let him sing. If anyone sick, let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayers of faith shall save the sick. The Bible says, even if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Now the elders of the church are not the people who have gray hair. The elders of the church are people who are grounded in the revelations of God's word that can extend that liberty that they are walking into to other people. Until you begin to extend the liberty that you have experienced in Christ to other people, then you are not an elder in Christ. And so God expects us to come to a point where the revelations of God's word become our experience, so that we stretch forth our hands and deliver the oppressed. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so in the kingdom of God, we rule by revelation. We rule by light. We rule by how much the word of God has found a place in our heart. Rabbi said, with your heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means until the word becomes a reality seated in your heart, and you begin to confess that which has been revealed to you, then you will not walk in that salvation. The scripture here is not just talking about your born again experience, how that you confess the word of God unto salvation. No. The salvation that God brings to us is a continual salvation. That's why 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 says, having the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. That means you are supposed to be walking in perpetual salvation every day. Salvation is not just that you are born again. No. That's your spirit. Your spirit is born again. But as you walk with the Lord, you are supposed to be experiencing salvation every day. You are supposed to be experiencing His soteria every day. Your soul is supposed to be experiencing the redemption of God. And your body and everything that pertains to you. Like we say, God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Wherefore He has given to us everything that we need. He has given to us everything that we need. Say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means how much grace is multiplied in your life, how much peace you experience in your life is a function of your knowledge of Christ. That's why Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. So grace and peace and victory and prosperity is multiplied unto you to the measure to which you know Him, to the measure to which His revelation is seated in your heart. So if I want to see, I want to experience more victories in my life, what does that tell me? It means that you go more for the light of God's word. More light, more victory. Hallelujah. More light, more victory. More light, more victory. So if I ever see an aspect of my life that does not depict that which Christ has accomplished for me, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to go back to the word and begin to search. In the book of Luke, Jesus gave a parable. He said a woman who lost a coin, and all she needed to do to recover that coin was to put up her lamp and pick her broom and begin to search. That when she finds that coin, what will she do? She will rejoice and call her neighbor and her friends to celebrate with her. So when something that Christ has accomplished for me seems to be missing in my life, what God expects me to do is to put on the light of the word and begin to search. So when thou hast found it, there shall be a reward, and the expectation shall not be cut off. That's Proverbs 24, verse 13. It says, my son, eat thou honey because it is good. Eat thou the honeycomb, which is good to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto you. And where you have found it, that means where you have found that which you are searching for in God, so there shall be a reward, and your long expectation shall not be cut off. You know, looking through the life of Jesus Christ and His disciples, you see that inasmuch as Jesus was praying for His disciples in His closet, but most of the times when Jesus comes to meetings like this, Jesus would take time to teach them the principles of the kingdom. Jesus was teaching them what it takes to walk a life of victory. So that we are not waiting for that which Christ has accomplished for us in the by and by. We are not waiting to enter into the rest of God in heaven. The Bible says there remained the rest for the people of God. There remained the victory of God for the people of God on the earth. And everyone who enters into that victory, into that rest that God has called him into, such one has ceased from his works. That means my life is supposed to be from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from victory to victory, from one level of victory to another. Victory in Christ. There's victory for us in Christ. And that's why Paul said, thanks be to God who has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not thanks to God who has given us suffering, but thanks be to God who has given us victory. Not that God is going to give us victory tomorrow, but that God has already given us victory. So we need the word of God in our life. That's why you can't afford to just be living your life on philosophies and principles of men. You must find your identity from the word of God. You must find your identity from the word of God. What does the word of God have to say about you? Jesus said, I come in the volume of books as it is written of me to do your will. There's something that God has said concerning you. And until you find that in his word and begin to walk in that reality, victory will be far away from you. So God expects that when we find his word, we begin to speak to that. Faith is the victory. And until we begin to speak that which God has said concerning us, we will not walk in the reality. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear little children." Do you know what it means to imitate somebody? It means to copy the person, to watch the person do something and copy it and replicate it. The Bible says God called those things that be not as though they were. When God saw darkness, when he saw darkness upon the surface of the earth, all God needed to do was to speak. God knew what he wanted and he declared. And the Bible says we ought to be imitators of God as dear little children. For every one of us here, maybe growing up as a toddler, you learned how to talk because you saw other people talking, because you saw your parents talking. You saw other people, maybe your other siblings, calling daddy and mommy, and you started saying it. What were you doing? You were imitating them. And that's why parents are godly. It is natural that the children too, if taught in the way of the Lord, should be godly. Because they will naturally want to imitate that which they see their fathers and their mothers do. And so the Bible says, as children of God. I like that part. Open it, Ephesians chapter 5. You know, many times we need to just read scripture like this and meditate upon them. Old King James says, it said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as their children." But I like New King James, another rendering, which shows it's very perfect. It said, "Be ye imitators of God as their little children." So God wants us to go into his word and to find how God brings victory, and learn the ways of God and begin to imitate God. The Bible says, "For the things that we see, they are temporal. But the things that we can't see with our optical eyes, they are eternal." And when God wanted to create the world, when God saw chaos, there was something that God was seeing in his heart. And when God wanted to release that which was in his heart into existence, all God needed to do was to speak. And so God is telling us that we ought to be imitators of him as little children. Because every time you try to relate with God as an adult, you always miss it. God wants us to come with the humility of children. That's why when Jesus was teaching and little children were coming to him and his disciples wanted to stop them, Jesus said, "No, don't forbid them from coming to me, for such is the kingdom of God." That means people who will walk in the reality of the kingdom will be people who will come to the Lord with simplicity of heart as children. So the Bible did not say imitate God as adults of God. Why? Because adults don't easily imitate people. It's children that imitate people. And so it takes you being a child to approach the word of God and say, "This is what the word of God says concerning me. I believe it," and that settles it. And you begin to proclaim it with your lips until you see the reality of it. That's the language of the believer. That's how the victory comes. The Bible says the victory comes by faith. And faith is not faith until we begin to proclaim that which God has said. It doesn't matter how much harm Satan has done around your life and your family. If only you would dare to believe the word of God. It doesn't matter how many people are not saving your family. But if you believe that the word of God says that for me and my household we shall be saved, then you will not keep quiet until you see the salvation of your household. Say, "For they that call upon the name of the Lord, don't give him rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth." God has not called us to be a beggarly people. God has called us to be a victorious people. God has called us to be a people of victory. And we can't walk in victory until we know what the word says. Until we go back to God's word and begin to find out what does God's word has to say about this aspect of my life. Why am I not experiencing victory in this area of my life? Because the word of God is a manual of God for our life. It's God's own manual for us. The psalmist said, "All of my body parts are written in God's word. and my days are written there in his book even before time came. That means if I go to the word of God, I'll find out everything that pertains to me now and even tomorrow. And all I need to do is just to believe it like a little child. I need to believe that with God's faith and begin to proclaim it. Be imitators of God. Be people who will copy God. People who will imitate God. People who understand that God is a faith God and begin to speak the things that God has said by faith. So Paul in the book of Ephesians begins to tell us that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. He said, you need to understand this. He said, even though that is a reality in the spirit, but I need to pray for you that the light will flood your heart. So that you understand that you are not coming against the devil as though you are battling, but you are coming from a settled position of victory. You are only coming to declare and establish that which has been done for you over 2,000 years ago. Right, we say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So the Bible tells us that we need to be equipped with the armor of God. We need to know, we need to be equipped with what it takes to walk in victory. Because the enemy that is coming against us is not flesh and blood. It's principalities and power. And one of the major ways by which principalities and power put people in bondage is through strongholds in their mind, through mindset. That's why God says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, for you need to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That means there are certain thought patterns that principalities and powers have brought into the minds of people that has brought them into bondage. And so God says our mind needs to be renewed. That means we need to let go that mindset and embrace what God is saying. When demon spirits want to put a people bound, they don't go physically and hold you and tie you. Oppression, first of all, starts in the spirit. When somebody is not born again already, is a candidate for Satan's oppression. But next to that, Satan begins to hold people captive in their mind. That's why the Bible in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that says Jesus came to deliver them who through the fear of death have all their life been held captive. Where did the captivity start from? In their mind, in their heart. I was studying God's word and God began to make me understand that the captivity of the children of Israel was not just because Egypt had a stronger military force than Israel, but because of certain divination, certain satanic and demonic strongholds that the enemy brought upon their minds and held them captive for that long, such that they never saw the possibility of them ever coming out of Egypt. And we can see that as they walk through wilderness, that even though physically they were delivered from Egypt, we still see that they carry that mentality into the wilderness. And they always tell Moses, please, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to eat of the garlic, the onions, and the cucumber. There was a territorial influence that held their mind bound. So for many believers who are born again, yes, you are born again, but you are walking in oppression because Satan is holding you bound in your mind. And all we need to be free from the oppressions of Satan that brings us into captivity is to know what God's word says, is to receive the light of God's word. The only antidote to darkness is light. So the Bible refers to the kingdom of Satan as the kingdom of darkness. That means it's a kingdom where ignorance thrives. But the kingdom of God is the kingdom of light. It's a kingdom where revelation thrives. So it's amazing that even though many believers are born again, we still see people living in oppression. We still see Satan oppressing people with sickness, with lack. We still see Satan oppressing families. We still see Satan oppressing churches and communities. is because many saints have not come to the knowledge of God's word. We have not come to allow the light of God to shine into our hearts. And so you see many people keep running from meeting to meeting for deliverance. Going from one place to the other. Hands are laid on you today for deliverance, and after a while you still come back for that same deliverance. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus says, when the devil is casted out of a man, he said the devils go to wander around, you know, desert and parched land, and after a while the devil will come back to check and see if that house, that person's life is clean and kept and garnished and prepared for him. And the Bible says when the devil comes back and see that house is unoccupied, that demon will go back and bring seven other of his friends, and the end of that person will be worse than the beginning. You see, many times we do not understand that as powerful as the anointing is in a meeting to break yokes and deliver people from sickness, from all kinds of demonic oppression, that just one encounter alone with the anointing is not sufficient enough to keep you in a life of victory. And so people think all you need is to just come, let hands be laid on you. That's powerful. It will bring deliverance for you. But if you are going to walk in victory, victory is not just a state. Victory is supposed to be a continuous thing. It's not just a thing for now. It's where Christ has brought us into. So walking in that level of victory is not just going to come by one encounter. By one encounter with the anointing alone. That encounter will break yoke from our life. But like Jesus said, that the enemy will always seek to bring you back into that same captivity. And what you need to walk in that victory that has been given to you by the anointing is light. Tell your neighbor, it's light. It's light. That's why the word of God is coming like this. So that we can know that truly Christ has delivered us from the curse of the law. So it doesn't matter whatever kind of curse or oppression that is in your family. If only you will know by revelation that Christ has delivered you. Christ has set your family free. And then you begin to declare it with your mouth to establish it. Believing alone that Christ has brought victory to you is not enough. But you have to declare it to become a reality in this life. In this realm that where you don't just believe things to make them happen, you believe them and then you speak them. With your mouth, with your confession, you come into salvation. Proverbs chapter 16 from verse 18, if you have your Bible just open. Let's see the power of confessing God's word. Sorry, Proverbs 18 from verse 20. The Bible says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So receiving the word of God as you are receiving like this is not just enough, but that you must be able to declare that which God has said so that you walk in the victory. For your belly, for your life shall be filled, shall be satisfied with the fruit of your lips. So what is the fruit of your lips? Is your lips speaking life or death? Is your lips speaking life or death? If your lips is speaking death, then you experience death. But if your lips is speaking life, then you experience life. It doesn't matter for how long a believer has been bound. All he needs is to come and have an encounter with the light of God's word. All he needs is to experience an atmosphere of the anointing like this. I tell you, the anointing of God is in this place. Because the Bible says he sent forth his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So they cried unto him in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. So the deliverance, the healing, the salvation that God brings to his people, he brings it by the power of his word. The Bible says when Jesus was preaching and teaching, the power of God was present to heal and to deliver. So when people are oppressed, when people are held bound and the light of God is coming to them, suddenly the devils that hold them bound just see that they can no longer stay in that life and they leave. If it's a thought pattern that has kept you bound, as the light of God is coming, that yoke is broken. So many of you will leave this atmosphere and find out that you are experiencing a new level of freedom that you never imagined. Why? Because you came into contact with the anointing, with the word of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, overcomes Satan, and overcomes all that is in the world. Whatever is born of God. For every one of us that is born of God, the Bible says we are bound to overcome the world. We are bound to overcome Satan. We are bound to overcome the works of darkness. For it was for this purpose that the Son of God was manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. And God wants us to be an extension of that ministry of Jesus. That everywhere we find ourselves, we begin to herald his deliverance. We begin to herald his salvation. But until you have experienced that salvation, until you have experienced that liberty in your spirit, you cannot bring other people into liberty. Galatians chapter 5 says, we should stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And don't allow ourselves to be entangled anymore with yoke or bondage. So we have been free. Victory is ours. But until the light comes, you'll still be walking in that oppression. Hallelujah. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. It doesn't need to feel logical. It doesn't need to sense logical to you. You see, when God tells you to do something, when the word of God says this is who you are, it doesn't have to sense logical to you. So many times we give reasons why we are where we are. We see other people who are blessed and we feel it's because they are fortunate to come from wealthy homes. You see, every time you give excuses why things are happening to your life, you will never move forward. Until you look at yourself and see that there is something you ought to know that you do not yet know, and cry that God will enlighten your path. Certain realities that Christ has brought to us will be far away from us. So Jesus is not going to be crucified for the second time. He has been crucified once and for all. Hallelujah. We're going to get ready to pray. We're going to get ready to pray. That every form of stronghold that holds people bound, whatever it is that the enemy has used to keep you from walking in the liberty that Christ has made you free, this is a night that you declare your liberty. This is a night that you tell Satan that I'm no longer under your oppression. Because light has come to me. Because my deliverance has come. Because victory has come to me. Bible says, for there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there divination against Israel. Why? Because Israel is God's own son. So whatever enchantment, whatever divination that the enemy has released over Israel, the Bible says it shall not stand. For no weapons that is fashioned against you shall prosper. For every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. So you see the power of speaking the word of God over your life and situation. He did not say God will come down to condemn it. Because as far as God is concerned, it has been condemned over 2,000 years ago. But you will be the one to speak it into reality now. You will be the one to speak it into your experience. To condemn the works of darkness over your life. Isaiah chapter 49 from verse 24 says, shall the prey of the mighty be delivered, or the lawful captive be set free? Say, but thus saith the Lord God, Even the captive of the mind shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. He said, and I will contend with them that contend with you, and I will save your children. He said, and I will feed them with their own flesh, and cause them to be drunken with their own blood. There's an anointing in this house tonight to bring liberty, to establish many people in their liberty. There's an anointing for liberty tonight. There's an anointing for freedom tonight. Because light has come to you. Because the truth has come to you. Hallelujah. For they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. So you're going to speak forth your testimony tonight. You're going to declare that which you know that Christ has accomplished for you. That's your testimony. Don't say, I'm waiting to find out I'm healed before I declare it. The testimony is that it has been done over 2,000 years ago. And the Bible says it's your proclaiming that testimony that brings you into the experience of that healing. Many times we say testimony is when God healed me and I come to the platform and say, I came into this meeting sick some few minutes ago, I was healed. There's a higher level of understanding to know what testimony is. Testimony is that it has been accomplished in Christ. I don't need to feel like it, but I need to proclaim it. The Bible says that is that testimony that brings deliverance. It is that testimony that brings liberty. It is the testimony that Christ has accomplished. In Jeremiah chapter 1, from verse 9 to 10, God came to Jeremiah and said, I'll put my words in your mouth. He said, I've set you over nations and over kingdoms. He said to uproot, he said to root out, to throw down, to destroy, to build, and to plant. But it's amazing that all that many people know is just how to uproot, is just how to pull down, and how to destroy. But they are never taught that they need to plant and they need to build. And so you see people just declare, Satan, your works are destroyed over my life. Satan, I declare that my father is healed. I declare that deliverance comes to my family. That's beautiful. You have declared that the works of devil will be destroyed. But what do you want to see? It's not just to say, I destroy sickness. It's not just to say, I destroy oppression. It's not just to say, I destroy lack. But that you also need to plant something. When you go to your piece of land, maybe you have a farm, and you go to uproot the thorns and the thistles and the weeds, you have done well. But that in itself is not enough. You need to plant something. So what many people do many times is to uproot that which the enemy has done. But they do not establish something. They do not build and plant something. But God told Jeremiah, he said, you have a twofold mission. Is that you are going to uproot the works of darkness. You are going to uproot and destroy that which Satan has done over the lives of my people. And you are not going to stop at that. You are going to establish my counsel. You are going to build something. You are going to plant something. And so this is the night to destroy. This is the night to uproot. And this is also the night to build and to plant. So if you know that sickness is not your lot, you know that failure is not your lot, that's beautiful. But you also need to know that victory is yours. God taught me how to pray like this, that you don't only have to destroy the works of darkness, but you need to plant something. Because it's that which you plant today that you come and reap tomorrow. So many times we just say, Satan, take your hands off my family. Beautiful. But what do you want to see in your family? That after I declare that the works of darkness is broken over the lives of my friends, over the lives of my neighbor, over the lives of my family, I'm going to declare that which I want to see in their life. And so the reason why many people do not see the liberty, the victory that God has given us in Christ, another reason is because many people do not see the need to persevere. The Bible in Luke chapter 18 speaks of a widow who came to a king. The Bible says, even though he was a wicked and unrighteous king, but because this woman kept pressing on him, kept persevering and said, avenge me of my adversary, the king said, even though I'm unrighteous, I do not fear God or man, but lest this woman weary me by her continual coming, I will arise and give her that which she demands for. And so we just know, many people just know that victory is mine. But they do not come to a point where they begin to declare it and keep declaring it until they see it. Many times people think, people speak and say, faith is just declaring the word of God and you go to sleep. But there are times there's a level of spiritual warfare that you keep declaring the word of God until you see the reality, you will not stop. Say, they that call upon the Lord, give him no rest. That means you will not rest until you see your life conform to the pattern that God has chosen for you. Until you see your life reflect the victory of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So are we ready to plant something tonight? Are we ready to uproot the works of darkness in our life? I want you to look at that area of your life. Look at that area of your family where Satan seems to be having a field day, and know that it's time to declare the victory of Christ. I want you to look at your body in case you came here with any infirmity, and know that it's time to declare that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. It's not whether you feel like it or not, but that's the victory. The victory is seen by proclamation. Hallelujah. I want to show us the scripture before we go on to pray. 2 Kings chapter 13. Oh, the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there's power. Tell your neighbor, where the word of a king is, there's power. Second Kings chapter 13. From chapter 14, from verse 14, the Bible says, Elisha was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face, and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bows and arrows. And he took unto him bows and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Assyrian in Aphek, till thou consume him. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times, then thou hast smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Wherefore now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Hallelujah. This shows us the power of perseverance in prayer. That there are people who have spoken over certain things in their life. They spoke just once and twice, and the mountain didn't seem to move, and it just relaxed. But just like Elisha the prophet told the king of Israel, he said, you struck just once, twice, and 3 times, but you ought to have continued striking until you have destroyed Syria. So yes, some of you are saying, I know what the word of God is saying concerning my life, but I've been praying over it and I do not seem to see the victory that I want established. God said, perhaps maybe you have struck just 3 times, but you need to strike until the king of Syria is destroyed. But you need to strike until the works of darkness is destroyed. Hallelujah. I'd like you to get ready and be on your feet. Father, we give you praise tonight. We thank you. We thank you because this is a night of victory and liberty. We thank you because this is a night of victory and liberty. I'd like the instrumentalist just go ahead and play for us. I'd like you to know that this is a night of liberty. I'd like you to know that this is a night to declare your deliverance with your mouth. But the Bible says, thou shalt declare a thing and it shall be established unto you. And when men are cast down, you will say, there's lifting up, and God will save the humble. This is the night to declare your liberty. This is the night to declare the victory that Christ has wrought for you. This is the night to look at that area of your life and say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. This is the night to say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. This is the night to say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. This is the night to declare that Satan, the Lord rebuke you. For I overcome the world because I'm born of God. For I'm overcome the world because I'm born of God. I overcome the world because I'm born of God. And there was every area of my life that does not reveal the victory of Christ. I begin to declare victory in the name of Jesus. I begin to declare victory in the name of Jesus. I begin to declare victory in the name of Jesus. Victory is mine in the name of Jesus. This is the night to approve. This is the night to go down. This is the night to destroy. This is the night to build and to plant.
Thank you. come tonight. We need you to come tonight.
Peace tonight. For wherever the world of things are, I see demonic strongholds being broken over people's minds. But the Lord says many people are leaving this place with liberty in their minds. Freedom in your mind. Freedom in your mind. Freedom. freedom tonight. Freedom tonight.